But I'm glad you guys are tuning in today. Beyond Every Toy Hour podcast.
Hey, what's up, Juanlis? Juanlis just came out.
Episode 28.
Your host, Xavier Puente.
Benjamin.
Eduardo, how's it going, guys?
So we're going to, today's podcast, we're going to talk about diabetes. It's a little different from what, our normal topics are, like, you know, toys and stuff like that. But it does tie into what, you know, basically like we do. Just a little disclaimer before we begin. We are not doctors. Mm-hmm. We're not claiming to be doctors. We're not going to, you know.
We're speaking from experience.
Experiences of what we had. So that's what this podcast is about, you know, of our own personal experiences and what we've gone through. And we're just going to let you know about our stories. So, you know, we want to let you
know. We want to share, you know, just so that you guys are aware, diabetes is not a joke, man.
Yeah.
It's no joke.
You know, if you think that it's something that is just going to go away or something like that, it's not.
It's something very serious that we all, as collectors and friends, you know, we need to be aware of. It's a hard way to live, man. You know, I'm living with it.
I'm living with it.
My body ain't the same, I'll tell you that. My body ain't the same. As a lot of you guys know, I went through some surgeries, but we'll talk about that more later.
Kind of the thing that why we want to touch on this subject is, you know, a lot of us collectors too, you know, we go out there and we do, you know, our hunting and we do our certain things, or even at work, you know, but we get into some bad habits of like either like just eating a lot of fast food or eating different stuff, and kind of those foods affect us. Sometimes, you know, if you don't know that you don't have it, you know, you'll feel different kind of symptoms and stuff like that. And, you know, you're wondering, like, hey, why is my foot hurting or why is this stuff hurting? But we're going to give you, like, our stories.
What are some of those symptoms that you're talking about? Because
Some of the symptoms are, you go to the bathroom a lot. You have to pee a lot.
You have to be drinking a lot of water a lot. If you drink water.
You get thirsty a lot.
There's a thing called neuropathy, and that's with your foot. You get like these sharp pains.
Sharp pains, you get tingling in your hands and your feet. And as it slowly progresses, you get numb. Yeah. So it's basically you're walking numb, in other words.
So things like, you know.
It doesn't stop, or like.
It doesn't stop, and then once it's there, it's permanent. It's permanent nerve damage, pretty much.
Yeah.
You're pretty much, your vessels are not receiving enough blood with oxygen, so that they start to die out, pretty much.
I heard that too, like the blood, it starts turning into like little sharp little shards, and that's the sharp pains that you feel whenever.
Yeah, you get little spots on there.
Como que se hace,
it's kind of like
hard, it gets hardened.
Like
the blood vessels get harder.
Yes, they
thicker,
harder.
Thicker.
Your skin changes.
Your
muscle tone.
You have to be checking
your vision. Your hearing. Every five senses. Your touch. Everything is affected. I like to call diabetes, pretty much the walking dead, because you're waiting pretty much to die, but you're dying at a more rapid rate than
normal.
That's if
you don't heal the same.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it to scare you guys, but I'm going through it, man, and it's no joke. I was telling these guys right now, I got here a little late because my sugar dropped. Not that I'm not consuming enough foods or carbs, but you know, with your meds, as you take meds and stuff like that, you gotta also pretty much time your meds with what you eat, because the meds that I take, I need to eat something. And if I don't eat enough, or if I eat too much, it won't work, or my sugars will drop, or they'll skyrocket. It's pretty, you have to be ready. Like, I walk around with candy.
Mm-hmm.
In case my sugar drops, because I try not to eat sugars, having a coffee because my sugar dropped. for example.
Yeah, something that, that you know, a lot of diabetics should carry around with them. Like something that, you know, a little candy, a little, or a soda. Honestly, I mean, they say not to be drinking soda, but if your blood drops like so fast, like the sugar.
OJ works the best for me.
Orange juice.
I love orange juice. You have no idea how hard it is for me to go and buy orange juice. And if I really want orange juice, I'll water it down. I'll maybe drop a little bit, like, because honestly, oranges, I used to think that I could eat 10, 12 oranges and I'm eating healthy. But what I'm not looking at is the sugars. Sugar content. Mm-hmm. The natural sugars that are in there, you know, all of that affects you.
So basically, we'll just go ahead and jump right into it. Later on, if there are questions that you guys had after the podcast, we'll definitely try to answer them.
Just put them in the comments, and we can go.
We'll reach out to you guys if you guys have a question or anything. If we can help, like you said, we're not doctors. You know, consult with your doctor if you're having some of these symptoms. But hey, you know, if you want to ask questions, we're here. You're more than welcome to ask.
Exactly. Like Marlon said, I'll go ahead and start off. My experiences when I first found out. Well, I already kind of knew when I was in the military back in the day. I had gone to the doctor and they had told me that I was a pre-diabetic, and they had told me that that I was starting to get it, but I really didn't pay attention to it. You know, I was like,
I'm 27. You know, 25, you're young. 27. I was 27 when I was diagnosed, and I looked at me, I'm diabetic. I walked out, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I'm good. I feel good.
So I never paid attention to it. And, you know, years gone by, and one day I got laid off from one of my jobs, and I was hired at another company at a church. And at that church, about 5 years ago, you know, I started feeling these weird symptoms in my, like, my feet, like, wouldn't stop hurting for nothing. And I thought I was wearing tennis shoes. I said, well, all right, well, I'll change my shoes. I was wearing boots, like work boots. So I said, I'm going to take work boots off and I'm going to try tennis shoes. And even with the tennis shoes, my feet still started hurting. So, and it was not the kind of pain, like, you know, soreness. Yeah, it was like a sharp pain. And, you know, like almost like you were getting a cramp in the bottom of your foot. So anyway, that happened. And then, like, I was going to the restroom a lot. I couldn't go to the restroom.
Did your shin hurts?
My shins? Yeah.
Were they, like sensitive? Like, you had just worked out and were they tender?
Yeah.
It's very common, because once your feet start to hurt,
it
spreads up. It's the nerves. So it kind of feels like, what is it when you run, Eddie? And you get sharp pains from running in your
shin splints.
It feels like shin splints. Thank you. It's exactly like shin splints. Your feet and your shins will start to get real tender. That's a very big sign of neuropathy. So just, if you start to already have symptoms like that, see your physician,
See your physician.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I went to go to the doctor, and they told me, they took all this blood work. Whenever you go to the doctor, get all the type of blood work that you can get, especially check your A1C. That's the one where that shows you, because, like, you can check your blood and it'll tell you, like, certain numbers.
Yeah.
But the A1C is going to tell you exactly where you're at. Yeah. And if you're at a high level, like,
you might be stuck to insulin.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, I don't do insulin.
They had first started me off with pills.
Yeah.
They started me with a low dose of pills. And so, anyway, after I got my blood work done, they started telling me I have this and that, I have diabetes. And, you know, I had high blood pressure, diabetes, everything that comes with diabetes, you know, they gave me the list. Yeah. And so they gave me a pill for this, they gave me a pill for that, they gave me a pill for all this stuff. But with the diabetes, they gave me metformin pills. And so I had started taking metformin for a while. But they said, if you don't take care of yourself, then we're going to have to start giving you insulin. But I'm pretty sure that, you know, you can take care of yourself with just the pills. Well,
you could actually live a diabetic life without medicine at all. You just got to watch what you eat.
Yep, and exercise.
Solving what you eat. exercise. It's exercise, it's
your diet.
It's your diet, and it's mental. You gotta be willing to really want it. Because if you don't, if you, you know, like, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I cheat sometimes. I'll have a burger, or I'll have a soda. I love soda, but, yeah. You know, food's my crack, dude. I'll drive down the street, see McDonald's, and hey, McDonald's will be like, like, I got on, it.
I got you.
You know, KFC's over here. Call me up. You know, I'm like. But honestly, it's all mental.
I was telling Eduardo earlier this morning, or when I got here, that, you know, a lot of times too, like my parents, both my parents, my mom and my dad, were diabetic. So, you know, my grandparents, diabetic as well from my father's side. So, you know.
It runs in the genes.
It runs in the genes. And the only thing is, my brother is the only one that doesn't have diabetes, but like my sisters have it, you know, like uncles, cousins, you know.
On my side, I think it's just, you know what, we thought my mom was diabetic, but she's not. When she went through the whole hospital thing, mm-hmm. we found out she wasn't.
That's good.
But it was just me and my dad. My sister's been watching herself. My brother's also been more aware. But continue, Harry.
No,
go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, so that was that with my family. But, you know, now I just check myself. I mean, you know, they gave you this machine where, you know, you can check your sugars in the morning. They said to check your sugars in the afternoon and right before you go to bed, just to see where you're at. Whenever you eat, you know, there's sometimes, because if your numbers are like in the high 200s when you wake up in the morning without even eating anything, and that's happened to me, mm-hmm. you know, then your blood sugar is too high. I'm the kind of person that I have to drink coffee in the morning.
What can you do in those instances to lower the blood, or like how
walk,
do you
walk?
Exercise. Well, in the morning, whenever you wake up,
water.
If you can, yeah, go take a walk.
For me, just wondering what the machine looks like. I walk around with mine wherever I go. So this is what it looks like. They're very simple to use. There's a pen with the little needle. I prick myself in the morning and in the nights. That's how serious I am about this.
Also, whenever you prick your finger, you don't have to...
Do the same thing. Yeah, switch it up.
Because we had one of our friends telling us that when they were checking them, so they checked it in the same spot and they got un callo.
Yeah, it got hard, right?
It got
yeah.
hard. So
they got to
switch it up.
And your fingers right here, like in anyone, you know, you always try to get like the fattest part of your finger, just so
the juicy part.
Yeah, because if you try the little pinky, you're gonna be poking. So, you know, since our fingers are fat, like
yeah,
we're good anywhere. But
you know,
so yeah, I check your numbers. A little trick that I've learned too that helps you bring your sugars down. I don't know if you know this trick, but pickle juice.
Oh no!
Yeah, I remember one time I woke up at 275, That's not even drinking coffee. That's not even nothing. Just waking up. So my wife, she had heard that pickle juice helps you out. She gave me a cup. I drank it. Started coming down.
And how long?
You can check yourself, and I mean, from 200 all the way down to like a safe level, it's not gonna drop it that fast.
Yeah.
But you will see.
Okay.
So, if you ever see that, try it.
No, I've never. I'm gonna look into that.
What do you guys recommend? Like, if it's high, and then how far after they walk or whatever, how long would it take for it to
try 30 minutes walk, 30, yeah.
15 minutes
just
will definitely get the blood work going.
Yeah. You want to hear a funny story that happened one time? So my wife, she bought this pickle. It was in a pack, right? Like a see-through pack. It had the pickle with the pickle
yeah.
juice. And she goes, oh yeah, we don't have any more pickle juices at the house. So she said, well, all right, well, real quick, let's just get that one. So I had just finished eating and I had everything, and my numbers were super high again, like up in the 200s. And she goes, well, you know what? I'm going to give you the pickle juice. So she opens it up and she puts it in a cup, and I drink it like almost like a shot. You know, I drink it.
Yeah.
Dude, all of a sudden my mouth starts burning. I'm like sweating, I'm like, what the hell? And it was a sriracha pickle juice. Oh, so it was a hot sauce.
Damn.
So it was probably more hot than,
yeah,
than
more pickle, hot than the pickle juice. And I was burning up. I was like, what's going on? And, but
did it bring your levels down though?
It's not.
At least it did the trick, man.
Yeah, it did the trick, but she got me, man. I don't know. Maybe it was intentional. Yeah, but so on to you, Ben. You can take over, and that's basically, you know, my stories of what I went through. Oh, one more thing. I did have this big issue with in my toe. A lot of the times with neuropathy too, and that's what we explained earlier, is that like you can't feel. Sometimes you don't have any feeling in the bottom of your foot, and so there was one time that you know, I cut the bottom of my toe, you know, and so with diabetics, sometimes cuts don't heal as fast as, you know, regular people do, you know. So this, you know, my wife was helping me out with the cut, you know, she was putting different stuff on it, but it still never healed, and it never got better. Weeks would go by and it was already getting darker, and just the cut was like getting bigger, and you know, things like that. So I eventually had to go to the emergency room and get it checked out. Luckily, I was at the point where they can heal it and yeah, you know, without them cutting it off. Like I took x-rays and they showed that there was no gangrene in the bone.
Yeah.
If there was gangrene in the bone, then that's when they were gonna cut it off. But you know, that's the thing. That's what they always told me. And a lot of times too, like a lot of information that the doctors tell you, like people ignore it. And there was some of the things too that like I kind of ignored, because I used to like to walk around without sandals or without, you know, I just like in my socks or something. But diabetics, you have to wear sandals or shoes
everywhere I go.
For that exact same reason, you can step on something and you will never feel it, or you can step or cut yourself and you'll never, you know, feel it. So yeah, always wear something. If you're a diabetic, if you're not used to, you know, wearing shoes, or, you know, because, you know, we want to be comfortable at home.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's for your safety.
Was that the same part where during the Rocket Con, remember in Rocket Con you were worried? I remember you telling me a story about you having a little extra piece of skin and you took it off.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's
the same one.
But I had an incident before that. One time I was at my house, because in my backyard I keep all my, for my custom stuff, my custom cars and stuff like that, and I had all my paints outside. So this was at night. I had on like a real thin pair of sandals, chanclas. And so I was out there. I don't know how these things happened or how these things were on the floor, but there was like these little tacks.
Shavings?
No, a tack.
Oh.
There was a tack on the floor, and I went inside and I took my sandals off and I was just walking, and I went to sit down and my wife saw a trail of blood like from where I was at. And I sat down and I had my feet like out like that, and when she looked at the bottom of my foot, I had white socks on. It was all red on the bottom. And when I looked at the bottom of the sandal, there was a little tack stuck to it. So that little point,
kept jabbing and jabbing and jabbing.
Yeah. And I never felt anything. My foot felt normal.
It
didn't hurt. And shit. So yeah, always, you know, if you're a diabetic, you know, keep watch out with your foot. Anything that has to do with your fingers. If you cut your nails, have somebody help you out and do it. Because if you do it by yourself,
feel it.
Yeah, you cut yourself. And something as small as like the end of your finger that you cut with a toenail clipper, you can infect it and it'll get bad. My mom got her finger cut off because of something like that.
Oh.
You know, so your toes also. If you're married or whoever, your girlfriend, whatever, have them cut your toenails, because you know, you might go too far.
All I gotta say is get rid of Legos. If you're diabetic and there's Legos in your house,
the walking time bomb.
Yeah. Like I said.
Anything.
Any little pick up everything on the floor. I'm like Javier, I shower with sandals, like I walk around. If I wanna walk barefooted, I'll put on my sandals. And I'm barefooted in my sandals. But honestly, other than that, I don't walk around, not even in my house. I don't walk around with, like, without my chanclitas. My chanclitas are my pantuflas. That's it. But I became a diabetic when I was 27. I was 27 years old. I had went in for a checkup. I was like, I'm going to go in. It's been a while. And I didn't really focus on the symptoms or nothing. I just wanted to get a checkup. And I went in and they ran all my blood work and everything and made an appointment. Did you guys see that?
The other guy, yeah.
Yeah, that shit was funny. Sorry.
We're at the public library and this dude just laid down.
He read and laid down or something. He caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that. But they ran my blood work. I went back and, you know, I was told I was the diabetic. And I kept going out and I was like, whatever. I'm like, yeah, I'm diabetic. I feel good. So it didn't start to really affect me when I was maybe like in my early 30s, 31, 32, when I was working retail, I could feel it in my feet. My feet would hurt. I'd pee a lot, you know. I used to drink at the time. I was a heavy drinker, so I was like, I'll be all right. And I'll be all right. And it started to become an issue maybe like around, I want to say 2017, 2016. And I started to look more for comfort in shoes, and I still didn't really want to take care of myself. All right, keep in mind, all this time has gone by. I'm 38 now. It got to a point where I had to go back to the doctor, and I kind of like really started to do it, but I wasn't taking it seriously because I still felt good, you know? It wasn't until November of last year, around this time, my son Noah has, he has Legos, and he had like a little, flame effect Lego thing. I don't know if you guys ever seen them in Legos, but I got up in the morning, was getting ready to go to work, and I jumped out of my bed barefooted, and I actually stepped on the little Lego. Whatever, I got the cut. I was like, and I just put like a like wrapping around it. And I went to work, and slowly but slowly it started to, like Javier said, it started to get bigger. And I was at the time going to the house in Mexico, or working in my house in Mexico, and you know, like I said, I was starting to have problems with my feet, so I didn't really feel the cut. So I would walk normal. Like, but I'm supposed to lay off it. And since I felt normal, I would just walk on it, and I didn't really kind of say care. Because
yeah.
I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any pain. And I went with a month like that. It was about a month. And so November, December, two months.
It wasn't the cut from Comic-Con? During Comic-Con?
Yeah, but it had healed. Then it came back in November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, that cut was already healed. Okay. This one was new.
A different one?
Yeah, it was a different one. And like around February, I was kind of pretty much taking care of it myself, and it pretty much got an infection. So I didn't really feel the infection. So I kind of like put it to the side, like, nah. And then one day, my whole leg was hurting.
I remember you telling
me. My nerve, and I was having a limp. It was pretty much limping. I'm not trying to. But I was limping and I was like, man, why does my inner thigh hurt? You know, I'm like, ah. So I went home and this was after work. I went home and, you know, I always check my feet. So when I checked my feet, I still saw the cut and it was, to me, it was starting to heal, but I guess I was wrong. On the top of my toe, it was a black spot. And I told my wife, I go, Debbie, I go, there's a black circle on the top of my toe. I go, you know what? We got to go to the ER. This ain't normal. I've never seen that. So I was like, okay, well, let's go. So I went to the ER. I got there like around 10 o'clock at night. I dropped off my kids with my mother-in-law and then I headed to the ER. I got there at 10, they checked me in. I didn't get seen till like 5 a.m. So when they saw my toe at 5 a.m, my toe was actually a bit more darker. There was more, I guess it had spread, the darkness had spread around and it was black. So one of the doctors looked at me and said, nah, you'll be all right. We'll take care of it. And I was like, ah, okay. So I kind of like laid back. We're going to put you in a room and we're going to have that cleaned up and everything. And, you know, we got it. Don't worry about it. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I sat down, relaxed, and finally got a room like around. This wasn't when I went to the ER, it was Friday. So this is Saturday in the morning. And then Saturday in the afternoon around 5, this kid comes in. I thought it was like maybe some nurse and came in, let me see your toe. And he looks at my toe and he's looking at it. And I'm like, ah, whatever. I'm like, I'm already going to get my room. I'm going to go relax. They're going to clean me up. And then he gets up and he takes a couple pictures and he calls in like another nurse and he goes, hey, I'll put him on the list for tonight. All right. So when he says the list, I kind of like, listen, what list? Like, so he goes, and then the nurse goes, what list? And he's like, the amputation list. And honestly, the words out of my mouth were, motherfucker, what? And he turned around, he's like, yeah, we're going to have to amputate. He's all, the bones already looks like it's been infected. So we're going to do x-rays, but most likely we're going to cut. We might be able to save it, but you're going to have to be in the hospital for 6 months. We're going to have to clean it to see if we can salvage it, but most of the time, we end up cutting it off. What do you want to do? He's like, if we're not able to save it, it could spread to the rest of your foot. What am I? Try being handed that decision at that moment. And I was fucking speechless. Excuse my language, but yeah, I felt very speechless at that time.
You had already gone though prior to that, remember? Because your foot was hurting. You had gone like twice.
Before. I had gone twice. And they're called, diabetic sores? What do they call them? Diabetic ulcers. And it's pretty much when you step and you create pressure and you pretty much build an inside blister. And then you pop it and you gotta really take care of it and make sure it heals. But it's very tough for the diabetic to heal, especially if you have neuropathy, your blood flow is not very good down there. So going back to the story, they told me that they were gonna cut my toe off. I was like, oh shit. So I called my wife because my wife had been there all night with me. She had gone home thinking that, you know, everything was going to be okay. My wife gets home, she gets out the shower, and I finally got to talk to her. And I was like, hey, you know, they're going to do this. They're going to pretty much. And she's all, what? When? And I go, today. My wife just, like, well, stay home. And she's like, no. My wife came over. So this was 5 o'clock. My surgery was going to be at 12:30 in the morning. So I was going through this. I was like, oh man. And honestly, it felt like a day being still waiting there. So like around 11:30, they came, they picked me up and they're like, are you ready? I'm like, well, I don't think I got a choice, but yeah, I'm ready. And they told me that you're not going to be completely out. You're going to be, you might be awake. I was like, okay. I didn't really think that, honestly. I was like, I'm going to pass out or something. So they prepped me up. They got me ready into a different bed, and they took me downstairs. This was at Kaiser. I love Kaiser, by the way. They took me down. They had me sit there with my wife. My wife said some prayers, and she sent out something on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I went in. I went under the knife. I still couldn't believe that I was awake. And I kept looking, and I looked up, and I pretty much suddenly cut it off. And that freaked me out. But at that point, there's nothing I can do. It was already
off. You said that it didn't hurt, right?
It didn't hurt, no. Nothing hurt. Till this day, nothing has hurt because of neuropathy. So I don't. When I got out of surgery, I wasn't on meds. When I went home, I wasn't on meds. No, nothing. I didn't want nothing because I didn't feel anything. So once I went through the whole surgery, I went back. They took me back to my room. My wife was there, and my friend was there, my friend Sandra Vargas. She actually works there. And she was there, and you know, she was helping my wife. I felt groggy, but I don't think I was like ready to pass out. I was still up. I just felt the bandages around my feet. I didn't feel any throbbing, you know, nothing like that. I did feel some stiffness because my foot was swollen. And I was out of there. I want to say I was in there for like maybe another 3-4 days, and then they sent me home. So when they sent me home, I was like, oh yeah, like, you know, I'm cool. You know, I made it. All right, I'm all right. I might be missing a toe. I still haven't seen my foot, so it hasn't really set in. There's a thing called ghost toe or something. So I still felt my toe. I can feel my toe right now going like this. I know it's not there, but you feel it. It's something natural. So it didn't really hit me until they started to send the nurses to come and clean my foot, and started to show my wife how to clean my foot. So it really started to set in once I saw it. I was like, oh shit, you know. I told my wife, I go, this is gonna change everything. I go, throw away all the beer, throw the smokes away. I used to smoke cigarettes. Pretty much get rid of everything that's bad. I go in the pantry, go get rid of everything that's bad. It was tough. I thought it was easy as that, though. I'll tell you that. I really thought it was gonna be easy. It's not easy. As I went through the healing process, it took what, about a month, Carnal, or 2 months?
Probably more.
Probably like 2 to 3 months.
It took more because you went to RocketCon and you were not good. Mm-hmm. That was like a month after. And it took way more than that after you were.
I was still on the little scooter.
It was months, dude.
So it took. Yeah, you know what? I didn't get off the boot until like July, right? So I went into surgery February. It didn't heal until like July, guys. It took that long to actually completely heal. So it's pretty much just my skin wrapped over and sealed, but that changed everything for me. You know, it brought some depression. At the time, my dad was going through, my dad had passed away, my mom was in the hospital, and I really wanted a beer. I didn't want to feel anything, honestly. But no, luckily my wife was like, hey, you gotta stay strong. You know, luckily my kids are pretty much my main focus on to really try to stay healthy. Once I got back to work, which was what really helped me, because I was going through just being in depression, being at home. I couldn't walk. I couldn't move around. I had to ask my wife, you know, can you do this for me? And not only did it affect me, it affected my wife. It affected, and you know, there was uncertainty with my wife. My wife was like, man, you know, he's already going through this. He's only 37, you know, what's going on? And it kind of made her conscious of how we eat. So she started to cook better. It took an emotional task on her as well, you know. It's very stressful. I wanted to go back to work. I couldn't. And I think, honestly, going back to work was a really big help because I was out of my house. I was at work working, and it really, really did help being back at work. But I still couldn't move around like I could. I was on a scooter. If you guys ever saw me on a scooter?
Mm-hmm. Clack, clack.
Yeah. Clack, exactly. You know, they're fun to ride and everything, but, you know, honestly, no, it's not a way to live in a scooter. I did Rocket Con like that, and I did it in a wheelchair, huh?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I did it for, was it a day?
I think you did it for a day, and then the next
for day. For a day, the next day,
you came with the scooter. Yeah,
yeah, I came with the scooter. So as that happened, I started to more just mainly focus on what I eat now. I do have some troubles with, like, for example, I take metformin, I take glipizide. I used to take two, now I'm down to one. And I take lisinopril for high blood pressure. So I take those three. I should have listened to this man a while back. He kept telling me to drink water, ya no pistes, you know. Honestly, I believe I became diabetic because of my drinking. I was a 3 tall can guy a day. Yeah. And on the weekends, 30, 24 here and there, would last me 2 days maybe by myself. You know, I like to chill. I like to, you know, have a beer, have a smoke, and listen to music, you know?
When he says that he wasn't too worried about it, he really meant that. At the time,
I really,
you know,
yeah, I didn't care.
I remember he used to tell me. We used to talk at night.
Ya no fumes, carnal.
We used to talk.
No, yeah, you know.
We used to have like 3 to 4 hour fucking conversations.
You know, like, I'm good, bro. I don't even worry about it.
And I'm like, you don't ever think about it, bro? He's like, nah, never, like, never. He doesn't think about it, and it was weird, like, and I would tell him, like, maybe
you don't care, and I'm like,
just a little bit, you know, like, yeah, just try it little by little, you know, go for a walk and blah blah blah. And if months passed by, and then all that shit happened, and then he told me, I remember the first time when I called him, and he told me about him getting his toe chopped, like he was gonna get it chopped off. He told me, fuck, I should have listened to you. That was probably like one of the first sentences that came out of his
mouth.
Out of his mouth.
I should have listened to you. I should have. Honestly, there was two people. It was him and my friend Nate Cruz. He's like, come and train with me. Come, you know, come work out with me. He has a gym at home, and he's a professional MMA fighter. He trains with some of the professionals as well. And him and Eduardo would always push me into that, but I was like, nah, I'm good. My brother-in-law, Edward, would tell me as well. He's like, hey, man, come on. You just go to the gym. Nah, I'm good. I used to love that, my beers, honestly. And now more, it's hard because most of my friends drink. I get temptations, I get depressed. Like, honestly, I don't like 4th of July now anymore. And not, it's just that I can't have a beer. I want to have a beer on 4th of July, you know? It kind of, you know, it you got to live with discipline. El olor del cigarro. Oh my God, I smell a cigarette, man.
You can smell it right now.
Yeah.
It's not even.
You know.
Come on, God knows how to talk.
Yeah.
Like, you say the discipline, like, what can you guys recommend as far as portion sizing, like eating habits? And
that's
stuff
all
like
mental,
that?
Brother. So, like,
that's all dependent on.
I take classes, and they teach you about your average plate. So your average plate is what, 12 inches? Technically, if you get a smaller, like a 9-inch or 7-inch plate, so it's smaller portions. Do that, change your plates.
Yep.
That's in one way you're filling up the plate, and you're actually eating what's on the plate, but you don't have a big plate.
Yeah. And another trick is, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you get a dark colored plate, it actually reflects more of the food, so you can tell how much you're actually eating, because usually white masks the color of the food, so it doesn't allow them to be distinct from each other. So,
but a lot of times too, like us as collectors and stuff like that, a lot of the guys out there too, they go for that early hunt, mm-hmm. and that's where the bad habits start, right? They'll take their burritos, they'll take their soda, they'll take their thing, and then be out there. They get donuts. And they're out there early in the morning at the Walmarts and the Targets waiting, and then after that they'll go out, have their cigarette, and then their
coffee, cigarette. I miss coffee and cigarette in the morning at like 4 a.m. I wouldn't mind going outside smoking a cigarette and coffee. I miss it.
The only thing that's why we're doing this, just to, just give you guys information.
Be aware.
Yeah, be aware, like, just if you, take our stories and just listen to what we were saying about it, and see if it'll help you change something. I'm not going to be here and saying, I changed my diet, like, right away. Yeah. I still cheat.
Even myself, I don't have diabetes or anything, and but I think if it wasn't for like being involved in sports and stuff, I probably would have been in the same situation. Like, I don't drink soda anymore, and that's mainly because of a coach that I used to have for cross country in high school, and he told me like, don't drink soda.
I don't know if it was you or it might have been somebody or some of my friends out there, but one thing that they told me was to put soda in your hand. Let it sit there. Let soda sit in your hand. And then once it sits in, grab your hand. Now picture all of that stuff that's in your hand.
In your stomach.
In your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I stopped drinking soda when I was like 16 maybe or 17. And then I would drink it only every once in a while, like in Christmas or a family party or something like that. But then now it's like, I can't remember the last time I drank a soda, and when I do, if I ever do, I always remember, like, goddamn, how did I like this? That shit tastes fucking nasty.
It's sugary.
And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Mexican candy, and ice cream is, like, my fucking weakness, but good thing I don't drink a lot of coffee. Like, I try to drink as much water as I can when I eat. I don't think about, like, what's good. I think about what's kind of healthy, because I don't know, ever since I was little, I've always said that I want to live to be 100 years old, but I want to be functional, I don't want to be like a fucking drag.
That's what scares me, that's my fear, is having to depend. I already depended on my wife for a couple months.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever do it again, so.
So I want to take the time right now to give shout outs to all the wives, all the girlfriends, all the people that take care of us diabetics, as I'm gonna be straight up. We're some shits, because I know I have a bad attitude when I'm not feeling good, and I'm pretty sure Ben can, attest to that too. And, they weather through that storm to keep us.
And keep us over there. I wouldn't trade my wife for nobody.
Yeah. So
I know what I have.
Big shout out and thank you, to you guys for helping us out, and because I think without them, I think I'd probably be buried,
I think my mother loves loves my wife more than she loves me. But
and I guess another recommendation, since we do go on, or like some of us go on hunts and stuff, it would be cool if maybe there's like, you go to Costco and you buy yourself big like snack thing or something, you know, like
healthy snacks you can do
trail mix or something, you know. Trail mix. Instead of going to the you can have them on hand, you know, just have a box in your car, or you get one every day before you go out, and or an apple or a fruit, you know.
Yeah, an apple.
I have fruits in my desk. That's what I snack on. That's my candy for the day is fruits. Mm-hmm. Oranges, you know, even though oranges is my, it's like, oh, I love oranges, man. And I can't have it. I'm happy. I'm a happy fat boy just eating oranges. I can go through bags of cuties, you know. I'll tear that up. But
keep a case of water in your car too, yeah. I would say. Like, water, man, it doesn't cost a lot, and what it does to the body, it flushes you.
Plus, it cleans you out.
You know,
I wake up earlier because I stopped drinking, and I have more energy now. I'll be honest, it feels good. I can be up at 4 a.m. on my day off, and I'm still out. That never happened before I did the change. I'm still late. Right now we don't have a car, but you know I'm awake at 4 or 5 in the morning. So it says I'm even awake before he is, because I'll check it through Facebook and normally he'll pop up. But sometimes I'm like, wait, are those not up? I was like, oh, I need him today.
sometimes my daughter wakes up or something, and I just go on real quick, you know, just in case.
I've got messages from you at 4:45. But he knows that I'm at work.
I feel like a lot of people, if you guys don't have your phone on mute at night or like in the mornings and stuff, just put it on mute, because people can communicate with you now from afar, you know, and
shout out to Alberto Castañeda texting you at 3 a.m.
I try not to make it too long or anything. I just do something like just respond and then wait for the people's responses. I try not to be intruding, like, because I know people are busy and shit, you know. But before, that's something that people couldn't do, you know. Like, you think about world pre-internet, you couldn't really communicate with anybody like in the middle of the night.
Honestly, in the group chat, when I was reading the group chat that we're all in.
Oh, yeah.
So it's me, who is it? Juan Bravo, George.
Caesar
and Gerardo. And we always sit there, we talk and everything. And then one day, I was trying to watch Mandalorian, and Juan Bravo was on his way home. And Juan Bravo, keep in mind, Juan Bravo, I think, what is it, the iPhone?
The Apple Watch.
So he's got the Apple Watch and he's got the iPhone, so he's driving. And I don't know, like a lot of you guys, I listen to YouTube to listen to music on my phone. I'm guessing this phone and watch going, bing, 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 because it goes right after another. I was like, God, I wish these guys would stop freaking texting right now.
It's the notification.
So he wrote back like 5 hours later. Yeah. And honestly, when I read it in my mind, I heard his voice. And the first thing out of that note was, Jesus fucking Christ. It's a toy group guy. Honestly, that made my day. I kept reading it over and over. And I just kept hearing him. I kept laughing. I was like, that's how I felt.
It was like 76 messages in the span of like less than 10 minutes. It was like my phone... Luckily, I always keep my phone on mute, but my iPad was on, and I get the messages from the iPad too, so it was like, bing, 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 bing. I was like, God damn, let me turn that shit off before, because then, you know, like, I don't know, my lady, sometimes she'll start tripping, like, who the fuck is sending you so many messages and shit, and I'm like, God damn, it's not even anything bad, you know,
it's funny, when I go to sleep, and I put tapones in my ears, because I don't like to hear little noises. My wife will wait or call me in the morning. I usually communicate with my wife like about 7 o'clock in the morning at work. And she's like, God damn it, your phone was going, it wouldn't let me go to sleep. And I was like, I don't know, I didn't hear nothing. But my phone, because we're charging them.
Yeah, you were in the Navy, Carmel, right?
Yeah.
Question. Are all sailors, do you wake up real quick? Mm-hmm. Are you a light sleeper?
Nowadays, like by 8 o'clock, I'm already up. 7:30, like my eyes. But
if you're asleep, say you're napping, and somebody like walks by, you
wake up fast.
Wake up right away.
Yeah, like if I don't have the tapones on. Yeah, like I there was like one time I believe it was like a family, and I didn't have like my earplugs. The noise of a watch or the noise of their clock, I couldn't sleep.
You think all that stuff is because sometimes when you guys were out, you were out in the sea, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. It was a hella quiet and shit. You could hear everything.
Yeah, a lot of times. Yeah. Like it would be dead quiet. Like you can even hear like the motors going. Or
the reason I ask is my cuñado's a light sleeper, and he's in the Navy as well. And anything you that what's up, dude? I'm like, dude, I'm just walking by. Oh.
Tienes que estar
preparado. Yeah. I'm like, damn. Yeah, you can't sneak up on him. That's what I was asking. Like, maybe it's a thing of the Navy, or I don't know, but my brother-in-law.
I guess it just depends on how much stress you lived through, you know, because some people, when they experience, like, war and stuff,
yeah,
you got
yeah
to be fucking
you gotta be
on your toes because you never know.
I remember one time in the one, because my ship used to carry a bunch of Marines, you know, so it was Navy and then Marines. Like, we would take the Marines wherever they needed to go or whatever. And I remember one time in their burning, the lights, you know how they had those big long lights?
Yeah.
Well, they fell off the thing and they were hearing like these explosions, like bah, 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 bah. They all started coming out. And so they're like, what's going on?
Damn. So they fell off the shelves.
They were falling off from the shelves and from the thing. And so that was pretty funny. But,
oh, man.
Do you guys have any more like recommendations as far as dieting or anything else that you guys want to talk about?
Countingcarbs.com. If you're ever trying to find out how to burn your carbs, like if you ever want to drink a coffee, put 7-Eleven coffee in there and they'll ask you what size, and you can put the extra large and it'll tell you how much you have to walk in order to, say you eat a Whopper. If you, like for me, it would take an hour of walking around for me to burn out the calories of that Whopper. It helps me, honestly. I do a lot of, I like crunchy stuff, so I do a lot of carrots, celery sticks, just to have that crunch. If I want soda, I want me to add mineral water or sparkling water just to get the fizz.
It's just baby steps. After this, if you guys want to, you don't have to change your life dramatically, but if you just start with something, you know,
little, walking. 10 minutes walking, of walking,
yeah,
and I just let it progress. I walk
water, you know, change, like, slowly. You're a big sweet eater, like, you get small.
Yeah, I love sweets too.
Yeah,
that's my crap,
you know. But, yes, that's what I would recommend too. Like, go with your doctors, you know. If you haven't gone in a long time, we're all the same.
Don't be ashamed, your doctor's not gonna judge you. You know, I used to feel ashamed, like, damn, I haven't been a doctor. Nah, I'm not gonna go. I'll put it off. I feel good. I think I'm good.
And maybe that one time where you say I'm gonna go to the doctor, and you whatever extreme something happens that you catch it in time. You know, you never know. But I would recommend that, you know, go talk to your doctor or
a physician.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we're going to end it off here. I appreciate you guys sharing your stories and everything. I feel like hopefully this is going to help a couple other diabetics in the group. And like they said, if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out. As far as them, they're the ones that know what happens. Thank you guys again.
All right, thanks, guys, for tuning in.
Thank you guys out.
All right, peace.